KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What's good, baby? We stepping in the door here one more time. It is Thursday, August 28th. Welcome in here to D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside
what are you
man?
Doing with him?
We happy that you're here with us, man, as we get started. Coach Brendan Marion, Sac State, their season gets underway this Saturday. We'll talk to Coach coming up 2:15.
Yeah, 2:15.
Coach will be with us. And then Matt George will be with us in the final hour of the show. We'll talk Kings basketball, NBA basketball with our man from Locked On Kings. And, of course, ABC 10. Had some fun conversations about the Kings yesterday. Had some fun conversations about the San Francisco 49ers just a few minutes ago. As we are now 1 week away from the start of the NFL season, the Cowboys and the Eagles will kick things off on Thursday night. And Adam Schefter tweeted, I guess some news, or perhaps he just tweeted the latest chess move.
There was a little Packers.
You see that? What were you saying? My bad.
Two days ago, there was a little Packers rumor floating around on the Twitter sphere that there was, like, they had an offer out for Micah and then a contract extension on the table if Dallas wanted to take that. And then the Schefter thing comes out today. I didn't see the Packers thing from, like, anywhere, like, super credible or anything like that. But, you know, like, when little things leak, come out like that. And then
scam Sharania.
And then the, no, it wasn't that. But it's just the trade stuff comes
well,
out.
Well, at least Jesse didn't go, I got news, boys.
Yeah, I didn't bring it to the show or anything. It's just kind of curious, like just kind of interesting to me.
I mean,
like, I think it's probably more real than, they're just fielding calls, quote unquote.
I agree. I think that was a little bit of news by Adam.
It feels like, and so this is, you know, when you're in situations like this, one of the things, I don't want to say maybe we like to do, I certainly like to do it, is who gave Schefter that?
Sounds like Cowboys.
That's absolutely what it feels like, that came from the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know if that's I'm not exactly sure what the benefit of it is, because most teams probably, like, maybe a team or two, like, called and inquired. But I'd imagine now there's probably a number of teams calling. Like, hey, is this real? Like, what's this look like? Because we'll sign the extension, and I'm not sure what the end game is with that tweet that the Cowboys are listening at. And again, it didn't say we're open for business. It said for the first time they're at the very least listening when teams call.
To me, the bizarre thing about this is it doesn't feel like it's a haggle on money. Jerry, and I believe him, says that I'm willing to.
Well, I love Jerry Jones.
How do you know where that is so automatically?
Well, I know now because it's the second to last button. That's why I can find it so quick.
But I believe him when he said, I'm willing to pay him what I'm willing to pay him. Like, whatever he said, almost the most of a non-quarterback, almost $200 million. According to him, according to everybody, when Jerry and Micah talked, they talked about something that had Jerry and maybe even Micah, like, happy at some point. Like, yeah. I agree to this. And it only went south when Micah was like, let me talk to my agent. So, like I said, it's not that they're $30 million apart. It feels like when they've talked, and I think if Micah was good with it, I feel like the agent would probably be relatively good with it. Money's not the issue. It's this weird thing with Jerry saying, I'm not working with the agent.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
Because usually in these situations, it's the money. It's all these sides are far apart on the money. They're $40 million apart on the money. It seems like financially they've gotten everything in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I just think with I think with football, you can't negotiate. Like negotiating a football contract without an agent is difficult. I think Lamar did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamar, was it his mom?
Yeah.
Like Lamar, like they had that. They had the legal wherewithal to be able to understand, you know, the contracts and stuff. But the NFL, man, just read a tweet and you're confused.
Mm-hmm.
You've got contract numbers. Then you've got guarantee numbers. Now all of a sudden there's actual guarantees and partial guarantees and injury guarantees, and you can't, you have to have representation of some sort, being an agent or a lawyer, to go over these contracts. And like, what's Micah gonna do? Negotiate a $200 million contract on his own and then have to give his agent? Like, no, like right. That the agent has to do their job in this even if it's going, yeah, Micah, this is cool. My guess is the agent heard it, saw it, and was like, wait, hold up. He can't do that.
Right.
Like, this means he can cut you in a year with nothing. Right. Or this means this. Like, was Jerry telling the truth about the amount of money? Sure, perhaps. Were there a few things that maybe they didn't go over together about when he could be cut? He only gets this dollar figure if he has this number of sacks, or if he's an all pro, or if he's this. Yeah, that stuff could have absolutely have been in there. Yeah. But the thought of even asking a player of Micah Parsons' caliber to negotiate his contract without his representation, whether his reputation is an agent, a lawyer, his mom, or his dad, mm-hmm. like whoever has been involved in this process, just the idea of asking him to do this without them is absurd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the bizarre nature of this whole saga, is that's the holdup. Really, that is like the the basic. Like you said, it's absurd to think that we can get this deal done without representation being there. Yet that's the holdup. Not the money. Not whether or not the player wants to be there or the team wants the player there. It's, I don't want your agent around. What?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that. I feel like I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that's what's holding up a deal from being done. That is crazy.
To Jesse's observation on social media yesterday, Florio did write an article on this, that the Packers
Blorio?
Do have.
Was that Blorio?
No, it was it was Mike Florio.
Wow, that's a point for me then.
Count it.
I should have brought it to the show, damn it.
Well, now wait a second. No, wait. No, you did the right
not?
Thing.
Okay.
No.
Psych,
no.
Florio.
Florio wrote about it. There's a Twitter account. It's at Ricky Scoops.
Mm.
But whoever this person is has 54,000 followers, and Florio knows who he is. So that was the person. Mm-hmm. Who linked the Packers to the Cowboys. And, of course, now today, as Schefter tweeted earlier, yeah, maybe they'll listen to a trade offer.
I believe Ricky Scoops, too, as well, has a dog picture for his Twitter.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And
Ricky Scoops.
I also think that the Cowboys would burn in hell before they traded him to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So if you're an AFC team, I'd start calling.
Mm-hmm.
NFC team, sure. Feel free to call. Packers, sure. I can't see that no matter how many first-round draft picks they offer.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be livid if you traded him within that conference, if I was a Cowboys fan. Like, I'm like that, though. I know you've talked about it before when we talk about, like, Kings and Lakers, and, like, your job is to get the best deal possible. I will look for a close enough deal to what the rival or whatever is offering me before I give them my star player.
Here's what I'll do, though. I'll ask myself, How close am I? If I'm Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones or whoever wins that franchise, I'll ask him, how close are we to a championship with Micah Parsons? How close are we to a championship without Micah Parsons? And this is the difficult thing, I think, with the Dallas Cowboys. This might be the difficult thing for any owner or general manager. I think they have a hard time honestly answering that question. Mm. I think when you're the Charlotte Hornets, maybe the Sacramento Kings, maybe the Washington Wizards, you have an easy time answering that. Mm. If you're the Kings, yeah, can we get to the playoffs? Sure. Can we win a 7-game series against Houston and then win another one against Oklahoma City, all while probably having to beat Denver or something along the way? Yeah, probably not. But I don't know that Jerry or Steven can properly assess that answer. But if you can honestly answer that and then ask yourself, how close are the Green Bay Packers to a championship? How close are the Green Bay Packers to a championship with Micah Parsons? And
too close for my comfort.
Man, and see, so that's where the offer becomes really important. Mm-hmm. Because now it's, guys, we're probably not there. We're not a Micah Parsons away from winning a championship. Are they? Maybe. Are we? I don't think we are. So what would those two or three first-round picks mean to us? Mm-hmm. What would those second-round picks or third-round picks? I feel like it's never a first and a second. What do those first and third picks mean to us? Mm-hmm. And how quickly can we become a championship contender if we do what we're supposed to do in the draft room and land players that impact our team immediately? How close are we? And that, to me, is where the difficulty in assessing trading a player like Micah Parsons in your conference becomes.
Yeah, man.
And that's the Kings Lakers question. That was always like, if the trade can ultimately make the Kings better down the road, mm-hmm. you have to at the very least consider it. You have for to do sure. what's best for your franchise.
Man, I would shop
him. Now, I understand.
Elsewhere.
I understand.
I would definitely shop him elsewhere.
But
AFC, all that other stuff.
What I wouldn't do, though, is take less. That's like, I wouldn't take less to just keep him out of the conference.
Do you have a, is it just less or is it like a lot less?
So if
Green Bay's offering you 4 first rounders and the Raiders are offering you 3.
Yeah, I'm taking the 4.
I'm taking
the 4. But here's what I'd also do in the sense of, we'll stick with the same 2 that the Packers are offering me 4, the Raiders are offering me 4. Hey, there's a conference tax. I'm gonna need 2/3. Then we go there. Or maybe I'll start with 5. I need 5 threes. I will push to get more from my in-team conference, and I'll make that clear from jump. If I get equal offers, it's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
There's going to be a conference tax. So you think about that as I go field this phone call from Mark.
Yeah.
Or Spytek. Is that right? Is it John Spytek? Yeah. Tom Brady's calling.
Tom Brady's calling.
You think about that conference tax and I'll holler at you.
See, that conference tax for me, it's there even if the other team's giving me less. They're giving me 3 first rounders. I need 6 from you.
Look, I'll send you Micah, but I own Lambeau Field.
Call it Jerry Field.
That's a publicly owned team, right? I want the major shares. I want the majority shares in the Green Bay Packers. I own 2 football teams.
And don't treat me like the minority owners in the Suns.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I want to see those books whenever I want to.
All of them. But going back to Schefter's tweet, the most telling part might be the second tweet. The Cowboys would like to resolve the situation one way or another in the coming days with their season opener next Thursday. The Cowboys would like to resolve this situation in the coming days with their season opener next Thursday. That's not a tweet. That's not news. There's nothing there. Mm. One way or another adds something to
Absolutely.
It. And I don't think Schefter threw one way or another in on his own.
Right.
Not to, again, not trying to, you know, clown him. We know he sends tweets off for approval. That wording, I think we're all in agreement. This came from the Dallas Cowboys. The overall message came from the Dallas Cowboys. That one way or another absolutely came from the Dallas Cowboys. And to me, that's the okay, maybe there is something here. Mm-hmm. And thinking before I speak, has a situation like this ever ended in a trade with within 7 days of a start of a football season?
I just pulled it up because I wanted to see what the parameters were, and it's Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack was, I think, the week of week one.
But was Khalil Mack in a contract dispute?
Well, the Bears gave him a new contract when they.
I just knew John didn't like him.
Yeah, the Bears. Where? What does it say? The Bears reach $141 million extension with the trade of Khalil Mack, and they gave up first round picks in 19 and 20. Third round picks in 20, a sixth round pick in 19. So what's
that? So the bulk of the treasure was two ones and a three?
Two ones and a three, yeah. Four total picks. And I think, I don't know if it was as public, but I think it's kind of along the same lines. John Poles or anybody else can tell me how they remember it as Raider fans, but it felt like, you know, they went the whole summer trying to figure out if they were going to get this deal done. And then a week before the season started, Gruden said, no, we're not getting it done, and traded him. So,
Yeah, I don't, yeah. You're right. That's what happened. I also think Gruden was never going to do the deal.
Never going to sign the extension.
He was never going to sign Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And then that, it's one of the worst things that happened to the Raiders organization. Then had the nerve for like four straight weeks to do press conferences going, man, we just need a pass rusher. We need someone who can get to the quarterback.
Man.
You don't say.
And
really?
Week one, didn't Matt go crazy on Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Well, I think he destroyed the Raiders.
Yeah, like, he did.
Five to six sacks for the rest of his career.
Every sack he would get year was against the Raiders, or for the rest of his career.
I love Khalil Mack, man. I'm a Khalil Mack fan.
Yeah, but it kind of mirrors that. I mean, at the time, Khalil Mack was arguably
the best defender
in the game.
Yep.
And in the prime of his career, and the thought of moving on from him was, I mean, that wasn't even. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even talked. I remember when that happened. It wasn't even talked about. Like, it wasn't even a rumor. Mm-mm. It just happened.
Yep.
Like, the Raiders are trading him to the Bears. What?
Yeah.
And you're right. I agree with you. The wording in that second tweet is specific.
Mm-hmm.
And
one way or another.
Yeah. Wow. I thought for a long time he was going to be there week one. I'm starting to wonder if he's not. Now I'm starting to think if he might be traded.
To the conversation that you and Kyle were having, Jerry is a Kardashian. Hmm. He wants them cameras. Hmm. Mid-2000s, mid-aughts Kardashian. he wants those cameras. He wants to give the press conference. He wants the, we're going to get it done all along.
Dag nabbit.
He wants that moment. Is this, you know, to paraphrase, is this Jerry being Jerry?
I actually think Jerry's getting pissed off that it hasn't happened already.
Mm.
That's what that sounds like to me.
So, okay, I hear you. One pause I have is that Michael Irvin podcast.
Mm.
When he talked about that agent told me to stick that contract up my ass. Like, he didn't look like someone who was angry. He looked like someone who was playing to the camera. He looked like someone who was playing to an audience. Mm. And Michael is there, and I love the playmaker, but he's hanging on every word like, oh, Jerry, no way.
But Jerry.
Like he's hanging on every word, and Jerry knew it. Mm. And in that moment, especially where he's talking about the contract and the agent, I told you as soon as I saw it, I was like, I think Jerry's performing.
Mm.
Now, both things can be true. Jerry saw the can. We joked. Jerry might have thought that was Netflix. Like he was performing, but he still could be upset. Like you go back and you watch the one shots from Netflix. Jerry's on. He's fiddling with his pen. He's talking about Jimmy Johnson and the Herschel Walker trade. And every time he gets a little bit upset, he'll son of a bitch. He'll crack. You know what I mean? He'll do. And it's like. And this what'd you, the first time you watched that show, what'd you say?
I said Jerry's a star.
Because he knows what he's doing. And then that's where like all of this gets like a little, like you.
It's almost like wrestling. You don't know what's a work and what's a shoe.
Absolutely. And now we're 7 days away, but the one thing that will give me pause on all of that, the only thing, not the absolutely only thing that will give me pause on all of that, is I still think Jerry wants to win. Above all else, he wants to win, and he has to know that this is not the best way moving forward for him and his franchise. So could it be showmanship? Could it be Jerry being Jerry? Could it be the cameras being on? Could it be that moment that he wants? Could it be that? Could be. Or today, Schefter, it could be a way for him trying to figure out how he could turn this bad situation into making his football team better.
What if, to that argument, what if this would be silly, so I'm not completely saying this happened. What if Jerry looked at that Netflix doc, relived Herschel Walker, and had an honest discussion about where they are as the Cowboys? And said, "Yeah, Micah's great, but we're not, with him, we might not even get to the playoffs. What if I can do the Herschel Walker situation again with Micah Parsons?"
That's tough, though. You got a $60 million quarterback, a $35 million wide receiver, new wide receiver that you just traded for. Like, I'm sure you're expecting to win some ball games this year.
Probably.
Do you think Jerry is capable of having an honest conversation about his football team right now? Do you think like Jerry can look at his football team and go, "Steven, we're not there"?
Hey, what did Jerry say? What did Jerry say to Steven? Run that back one more time.
See, I love the instant replay. Like,
that was a good one.
We're not there yet, Steven. We're not there. That son of a bitch, he's got us over a barrel, Steven.
Look, kid, you got talent. You got talent, but go get some work in the summer and come back to tryouts next year.
No. That wasn't me doing an impression.
No, it was.
No. That was a one-off. Y'all called for the replay.
No, you can't do one-offs. There's no one-offs. No, I can do one-off. In the summer and come back to tryouts next year.
What are you, the commissioner of the impressions?
I'm the commissioner, the coach, all the
governors.
Yes.
Board of governors. The saying was on point, though. That was a good one.
Yeah.
He's got some prepared. That was a good one. The saying was hilarious.
I think you said it in the doc somewhere, to be honest with you. I think that's why it's
to answer your question, it doesn't feel like it can be honest.
I think Jerry believes every season that his team can win the Super Bowl. And I don't know, maybe if we owned a professional football team or we were the general managers of a professional sports team, maybe we'd have that same, you know, you're close to these guys, maybe you just have a belief in what they are. We have a more, you know, wide scope view where we can watch this, like, you know, you guys might be, you know, you're missing something here, you're missing something here. But when he's around those guys every day and he's in those practices every day, maybe it is harder to have those discussions. And to Jesse's point, when you have a $60 million quarterback and a $35 million wide receiver, yeah, maybe it's a little more difficult to just walk away, right? You brought, you know, Schottenheimer in here. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but you brought him in there and like you're trying to establish something. And I think, I mean, I don't know, Drew Down, Cowboy. I don't know how is this Chan Gailey or in Campo? Like, is that what we're looking at here?
Crazy.
Like, is this what it is? Or is this, you know, the start of you know, Jason Garrett was mostly a good football coach. Wade Phillips was a really good football coach. Is this Schottenheimer getting his chance, you know, to be a really good football coach? I just can't figure out this. I don't think that team is there. They have so much super high-end talent. I just don't think they have roster balance, which is what makes Schefter's tweets today so interesting. We'll come back. We'll continue to discuss this Micah Parsons situation in the NFL. Much more football coverage ahead, too. We'll talk some 49er stuff and storylines. Boy, we've got a storyline. This is a good one. And Coach Brendan Marion is going to be with us here for his first of many visits this upcoming Sac State football season. It's Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.